chapter 8, an interview with yourself from How to Make Your Thoughts Disappear. Not only are these exercises a great way to stop and break the fast-paced patterns we're all too often force ourselves to live with, but I also look at them as a meditation technique. I frequently think of meditation as an interview with self. So in addition to using these exercise techniques to relax, I also want to use them as a way of interviewing myself throughout the day. All interviews are done with questions. So now it's time to ask yourself a list of questions. This is a great way to start your day so you can design your day just the way you like it, and also so you can be more prepared when the day you plan becomes nothing like the day that emerges. After all, we can't predict everything, and often our greatest plans fall apart when the unexpected fails in our laps. So ask yourself questions similar to the ones below. Am I at peace with others and myself? This question needs an answer. Judaism includes in their culture annual holidays to get rid of bad feelings or old anger between you and anyone else you might have offended. The day is Yom Kippur. It is a day every year when they will individually face the people they have often offended during the past year and apologize for the offense, imagined or real. What a cleansing opportunity to start over again and to do it better next time. I wish more people would muster up the courage it takes to face a person you offended, confess the offense, and ask for forgiveness. Imagine starting a new year without the inner rage and bitterness that comes when people keep offenses inside, perceived or real, for years and years and years. Are my relationships with the people closest to me healthy, positive, and productive? You can usually choose the people you have around you, even family. If you don't get along with your spouse or your children, you are the one who is in the best position to change that. Children look to their parents for examples of how to behave in society. And if your children don't show love, it is an action verb, or respect you, consider the example they see when you think they aren't watching. Become the kind of parent they want you to be and watch your family come together. It won't happen overnight, and it may take years before your example sink in, but it will happen. Am I happy with the person I am becoming? You can blame your parents or the lack of parents all you want, but it doesn't change the fact that you can become the person you want to be. If you take a look around you, you see people in all social economic groups who are happy or at least content with what they have. Sure, you'll also find people in all satras who are angry and bitter or upset at the world for the life they were forced to live, but blaming society or anyone else will never help lift that person out of their bitterness. And if you're not the person who you want to be, take an inventory of your perceived shortcomings and study them until you understand why you feel that way, then find a way to change the negative one so you can become a more positive, successful, and likable person. Do I enjoy keeping my own company? If you don't even like yourself, how can you expect other people to like you? I've met a lot of people who want to blame society for their problems when the truth is that they're just not the kind person anyone else wants to spend with. And when the lights go out and everyone else has gone to their homes, all you have left is yourself. If you don't like yourself today, then admit to yourself why that is so and start working on ways to fix the problem. You have every right to keep your own company, and you should enjoy your time with yourself as well as your time with family and friends. And if you don't, then get off your duff and fix it. Am I happy with the amount of time I'm putting into my job, career, business each day, and the quality of work I'm performing? It is common for people in our society to dislike their job they go to every day, 5 or 6 days each week. I will frequently hear the excuse, it puts bread on the table, or I have a family to support, so it doesn't matter whether I like my job or not. My favorite excuse is, I'm too old to start looking for another job. No one wants to hire an old person. In other words, these people are trapped, or at least they feel trapped. I think they're just lacking passion. Passion for their job, passion for their lifestyle, and maybe even passion for life itself. This is the 21st century. Anyone who believes they have no choices in the kind of job they work is just not being honest with themselves. but it takes passion and a sense of adventure, because it is a big risk to throw away everything you've built over the years. But whatever the size of the empire you have built for yourself, it will not do any good if you're dead at the age of 35 or 50 because of the stress of your job and it give you a heart attack. These techniques can help you find peace of mind in whatever circumstances you find yourself, until you can arrange your life the way you want it to enjoy every day more than ever before. Am I doing everything I can for my health? Don't rationalize your health problems and think they can't be improved. Don't tell yourself again that dieting is too difficult, or you've tried to quit smoking and it's just too hard, or you have no time to exercise. Don't settle for anything less than healthy. Again, this is the 24th century. Medicine and nutritional understanding and appreciation have never been better than they are today, and you can do whatever you need to do to take control of your life. But you have to start somewhere. Where do you want to start? What kinds of changes do you want to achieve first? And how about starting from where you are today? Never forget, you cannot change what you don't acknowledge. And I'll often use these exercises to reflect upon and to determine what is weighing heavy on my heart and my mind. And I think it's also very important to understand, when a person doesn't make time to do things like this, they're not creating a life for themselves by design, due to the fact they're not willing to see what is wrong with what they're doing so they can fix it. Again, don't forget, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. People like me who create a life by design take time to stop and reflect on the world and their place in it. They use this time to reflect on many things, to figuratively pull in the reins. They reflect on where they find they may be going off course a bit. Reflection can also help you identify why you're choosing to maintain such a fast pace in life without choosing to just take a few minutes of your day and stop and smell the roses. And for many people, the reason they don't stop and take time to do things like this is that they're hiding something mentally or emotionally, or both. By not taking time to reflect, they end up suppressing negative emotions that ultimately will surface and will need to be dealt with. What are you masking or hiding from your heart? In the world and in the society that we live in today, we are busy becoming antisocial by constantly hiding behind text messages and email, social media, and other technological advances. I think one of the greatest advantages of doing these relaxation exercises and meditation a few times a day is that it forces you to have more balance in your day-to-day activities and in your life as a whole. And if you find something as simple as grabbing a few minutes a day for yourself, then I'm going to guess that you might have too much on your plate, and then you might not place enough value on any of it to remove some of it off and then apply the discipline needed to create more balance in your life. And when I talk about balance, I refer to balance and values. I'm a constant go, go, go person, but I keep a balance in my values. And if this is something you don't do regularly or that you might find challenging, ask yourself a few questions. What causes me to think I'm so busy that I can't take time to have more balance in my life? What are my excuses and my stories I keep telling myself, or the things I might be hiding from it? If I took time to slow down and reflect, I might open up Pandora's box. The content in this book is not designed to help you deal with the kind of things that you might find in your version of Pandora's box. That would be a subject for another book. If reflecting on your day or your life brings up an emotional pain, that is a sure sign that you need some healing or something is clogging up your emotional hard drive. And if this healing isn't done, eventually you'll become more callous to your problems and even emotional gangrene will set in. And use these exercises and exercises like them as a way to listen to your heart, your mind, and your soul. Another question you could ask yourself is, what am I afraid of? Some people may experience tears as they reflect on their life due to whatever is happening in their present life or what happened in their past. Use those tears to wash your heart, your mind, and your spirit. They're given to us for a reason. Simplify your life so you can take time to breathe, and never forget, success equals time. If you take a moment right now to identify anybody who's successful in any area of their life, one thing they all have in common is they have spent a lot of time becoming successful in that specific or special area of their life. And it would also be reasonable to assume that we all like to be successful in all areas of your life, or at least in one area, such as our finances or our relationships or health or spirituality and more. But the biggest danger I see is when people become really unbalanced. Many times people are very successful in at least one area of their life and then very unsuccessful in most other areas because they have too much on their plate and not enough balance. So they don't dedicate enough time to each of these areas to be successful in them. And if you don't have enough time to carve out for 2 5-minute sessions for yourself, you have too much on your plate. Or there might be some things that you could remove to find more balance and be even more successful and happier. To do this takes time and effort. This is where you have to stop, reflect, and ask yourself what your real values are and your priorities in life. And if you find your priorities are out of balance, believe me, you're missing out. And I hope this book or this audio program, to some degree, helps you become more aware of your real values and priorities, and more importantly, motivates you to do something about it. You know, I often look for additional ways in my daily routine that I can stop and pump the brakes on life. And in my travels, I'll often be driving, and when I see a beautiful flower or a lovely animal, I'll stop, and I'll just pull over and stop and enjoy it, video it, or take a single picture. This is my way of slowing down from my daily routine because it's often extremely busy and fast-paced. And doing little things like this regularly and consistently creates awareness for me to slow down and change my patterns of behavior as needed. I also use these exercises to try to look ahead into my day if I do them in the morning to see what challenges or problems might arise. Now, I do this to make sure I'm ready for just about anything and to make sure I'm mentally and emotionally prepared to manage or counteract the challenges of the day. I'll explain to you in a moment how I do this. Perhaps you're going through a divorce, or maybe you've lost a loved one, a holiday or a birthday coming up after a loved one died and will no longer be with you. Well, maybe you have a lawsuit or a court date or something else that's negative happening in your life. Here's how to manage problems like this. One of the things that I do as a pilot before takeoff while on the runway is to add the throttle, and I say out loud to myself and to my co-pilot, be prepared to abort or to lose an engine. I often have those who fly with me wear headsets so they can listen in on the conversation going on the inside of the cockpit while they're in the back. Those who might have a slight fear of flying sometimes get a mental jolt when they hear that statement. For some people, hearing such a statement like, be prepared to abort or lose an engine, may appear to be quite negative, but all right, it may scare the heebie-jeebies out of them, but ultimately, it's very realistic. You could think about it this way. When you put on your seatbelt inside of your car, is that negative or realistic? Of course, it's realistic. Now, I hope you realize you're not actually saying to yourself as you put the seatbelt on, I'm doing this because I might have an accident. The real reason we do this is because it's the law. That may be one of the reasons. So essentially, we're saying, be prepared to abort or lose an engine or to have an accident. Nothing negative about it. It's just smart. Right before takeoff, when I say this, I don't say it as if I'm scared to death or that it's really going to happen. I say it to create the mindset that I'm ready just in case something negative does happen. And who would you rather fly with, a pilot who has simulated many engine emergencies or a pilot who's never simulated a single one? Do you recall in an earlier chapter what I referred to as my secret weapon? Yes, it was the human nervous system. And remember, the nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. So let's take that knowledge and use it in our relaxation or meditation exercises. Here's how I do this, and it is very powerful. As I'm sitting down relaxing, if I reflect on something negative, I will mentally walk through and role play the possibilities in my mind. Remember, the nervous system can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. And as I walk through a predictably negative part of my day, such as maybe you might be going to court or having some other situation that's going to create a lot of negative emotions, keep in mind the emotions you think about will start triggering endorphins in your nervous system, especially if they're positive ones, obviously. Now, maybe you have to fire someone and you find that to be a difficult situation. That could breed anxiety inside of you along with increased heart rate or blood pressure increase or some other natural physiological responses. This is exactly what you want to happen. You would rather have this happen while you're sitting down relaxing so you can start mentally controlling the negative emotions that might be coming up. And how would you do that? As you think about what it is that's going to bring up these negative emotions, you will note, if you're aware, that just the thought of it alone will start changing your breathing pattern in a negative way. You might also experience a negative breathing pattern if you were to be pulled over to the side by the road by a police officer. As you're thinking about what the officer might do to you, you start breaking your learned breathing pattern and interrupting it with new patterns, though you're not actually experiencing it right now, but just thinking about it. You're only thinking about it, and remember, just thinking about it will create a reaction because the nervous system can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. This is extremely powerful because keep in mind, many people won't stop and do exercises like this because they're afraid of self-reflection or some feelings of negative emotions until they have no choice. But whether they realize it or not, these emotions are going to hit them sooner or later. And if they're not prepared to meet them, those emotions will take control over them instead of allowing them to remain in control of their own emotions. This is actually something like what Tiger Woods' father did with him to help him become an incredible golfer. While Tiger was a young child, his father created exercises that helped him increase his focus on his strokes. For example, one of the things his father did was while Tiger was getting ready to putt, he got close to him and made a lot of noise, yelled at him as if he were pretending to be part of a crowd and purposely distracting him so he would learn to ignore the noise and stay focused. Whereas somebody else might want to say, oh, no, be quiet. Don't make that noise. Tiger is getting ready to putt. This is a totally different contrast to how most golf classes are taught with totally different results. Now, I recently saw another example of this principle. It was on one of those TV shows where people get to audition their singing skills. A well-known artist was working with somebody who had a problem with nervous singing in front of a group or a large crowd. So this famous artist told the person she was coaching to practice with the radio or the TV blaring loudly to learn how to perform with distractions. But the concept was to practice with a pretend audience before you get in front of a real audience. She was actually helping her train to control her nervous system because it can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. In this particular example, the artist was creating a scenario where it was still somewhat real, like the distraction of loud music or the TV. The person being coached could then take it to another level by imagining the distraction. How do we know this would work? Again, because the nervous system can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. So just as I prepare for the possibility of something negative happening at takeoff, I also use this exercise to mentally prepare for my day in case something happens that I'm not expecting. And sometimes it could be a point in our lives that the stress becomes so great that we don't even want to go through a single day because we have so many negative things waiting to ambush us. But we get up anyway, and unfortunately, we end up fighting those problems. And if we would only take the time and do an exercise like this every morning, especially knowing we're going to have an incredibly stressful day, we would be able to counteract the negative emotions before it's too late. I would just think about the negative problems, and as they bring up negative feelings, I would go from a negative breathing pattern to stopping and controlling my breathing pattern through the exercises I shared with you in this chapter. And when you do this, the real problems happen later on the day, but the advantage you have is that you already have started to rewire yourself to prepare for the possibility of those negative emotions. And now, if done correctly, you won't make an emotional snowball roll downhill and make the situation grow and grow. You will be prepared in advance to stop the insanity before it starts. And I cannot express to you enough how powerful this is when you take it to an incredible level of self-mastery. And I speak from experience. As a reminder, my experiences come from everything from infidelity of a spouse and subsequent divorce, to having my uncle killed in a plane crash, from my grandfather and stepfather dying of cancer, to my father being murdered, and all that, as I mentioned to you, happened to me by the time I was 21 years of age. And then there was a losing of my so-called friends and family after choosing to leave a tightly knit religious sect, being entirely on my own and having to totally reconstruct my entire value and belief system. This all nearly took me to the point of bankruptcy emotionally and financially, and I could go on and on with a list of tragedies that have happened to me, but one thing I can assure you is that I have tapped into my ability to control my nervous system, understanding that it cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality, and I believe it is the ultimate tool to show you how to play games with your mind instead of your mind playing games with you. And as I reflect on all these challenges, as crazy as this may sound, the most painful experience of my life was dealing with losing all my so-called friends and family and reconstructing my entire belief and value system. And sadly, it made the tragedies in my life seem like a cakewalk that happened before that. I just want you to know that I understand your challenges. I have devoted my life to sharing my ideas and my strategies with people to help them learn to deal with their challenges so they can be happier and be more fulfilled. And one of the more important things is to help them remove the pain from their lives. And I've experienced so much pain in my life that I have been blessed, and that enables me to walk in the shoes of many people, including you. Though I would rather not have experienced all the tragedies that I had in my life, the blessings coupled with finding the right attitude as I went through all these tragedies and now look back at them, they are priceless and immeasurable. And I believe God has given me the greatest gift of all, and that's the gift to help other people move forward from their past, learn to put their past behind them, and to become more successful in life. And together, let's not run away from our open wounds, but let's learn to heal them and become the kind of person we really want to be.
This concludes this chapter of How to Make Your Thoughts Disappear by Gary Cox.